The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Sarah A. Speed in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Sarah A. Speed.
Family of Faith, it is always good to see your faces, but on this Sunday in particular, I am extra grateful to see you all. Thank you for being here. And to those of you joining online, thank you as well. You all are near and dear to my heart. Today we are kicking off a new sermon series called Why Church, which is where we will be asking why questions related to the Christian life, questions such as why join, why invite, why worship? Before we dig into our why question for today, why join, I want to invite you all to center yourself and to join me in prayer as we turn to the Word. So take a deep breath in and let it out, and let us go to God in prayer. Creator God, we come to you today eager to hear your word for us. So we ask that you would dust the cobwebs from our ears, quiet the worries in our hearts, chase the distractions from our minds, and center us in this place so that we might feel your presence among us like a mighty rushing wind. With hope we pray, with hope we listen. Amen. Our scripture passage for today comes from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 23. Because the Hebrew words for Adam and Eve are broader in their Hebrew meaning than in the English translations, I have adapted the text to a gender-neutral version. So listen now for what God might be saying to us today. The Lord God took the human and put them in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the human, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the human should be alone. I will make them a helper as their partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the human to see what they would call them. And whatever the human called every living creature, that was its name. The human gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the person, there was not found a helper as their partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the human, and they slept. Then God took one of their ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the human, God made into another and brought them to each other. Then the human said, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was in seminary the first time I realized that there were two creation stories in Scripture. Did you know that? There are two creation stories in the Bible stacked side by side. One of my professors mentioned this as a passing remark very casually, and I almost fell out of my chair. I wanted to raise my hand and say, "Do you mean to tell me it's been like this the whole time?" The first creation account takes up all of Genesis chapter 1. It follows the refrain, "On the first day God created, and it was good." This rhythm repeats for the second day and the third day and so on and so forth for the 7 days. It is a beautiful and affirming story. The second creation story, containing much of the text we just read, is very different from that first account. There is no rhythm or repetition. Instead, the second creation story introduces us to Adam and Eve. God first creates Adam, then the animals, and when God sees that Adam is lonely, God creates Eve. Now, when you realize that these stories are indeed distinct stories and not simply one long fused narrative, as I'd originally assumed or possibly been taught in VBS, then it doesn't take long before you find yourself asking, well, why do we need that second story at all? At least that's what I began to ask myself. Was there an important message that was left out of the first creation account that the scripture writers just needed us to hear? Was there something so critical that the writers were willing to go back to the drawing board after Genesis 1 and write a new story all over again? What was it that those early scripture writers needed us to hear in this second creation story? Over the years, many Christians have tried to supply answers to that question, and not all of the answers have been helpful. For example, some of you may have been taught that the reason we needed this second creation story is because it helps us understand scientific truths around creation. Some of you may have been taught that Genesis 2 is not a metaphor, but scientific fact. Now, I understand why people may think that way, but I don't think that's what the scripture writers had in mind. I think Genesis 2 is meant to be a theological account of creation, not a scientific one. The discoveries of science, such as the Big Bang theory and evolution, stand alongside this text and add to the wisdom of our canon. They do not take away. Others have argued that the reason we have this second creation story is because this text provides a biblical explanation for men's superiority over women. Again, I understand the temptation to read sexism into the text, but again, I don't think that's what the writers had in mind. For instance, the Hebrew word for Adam is not actually the name of an individual man, but the Hebrew word for human. Eve is the word for life. When we treat Adam and Eve as simply a man and a woman's name, we turn our text for today into a hero story about the first man to walk the earth, instead of a communal story about how people came to know God and one another. This misinterpretation has been further damaging when Christians have argued that because Eve came second, or because Eve came from the rib, which is lower than the head, women therefore must be lesser or lower than men. Friends, I am confident that the God who created humanity and said it was good in chapter 1 did not turn around and inspire a second creation story that immediately diminished half of God's good creation. Surely that is not what the scripture writers wanted us to hear in this passage. Similarly, I don't think this passage was written with the intent of establishing a gender binary or rules around marriage. Many have looked to this passage as the justification for why the world can only have two genders, male and female. Even more have used this passage to dismiss gay marriage, holding up Adam and Eve as example of divine heterosexual relationship. But once again, if the Hebrew word for Adam is not actually a singular name, but the word for humanity, then this story is not a story about two individuals. This story is about all of us. This story is about the aches and longings of our human hearts. It's not a marriage edict or a gender declaration. So if the scripture writers weren't intending for us to glean scientific fact from this text, and if it wasn't written to imply a theological law on gender, marriage, or sexuality, then why was this story written? What does the Spirit want us to hear? What truth is nestled into these words? Why did those before us include a second story of creation? Surprisingly enough, I think the answer could have something to do with the church. In our text for today, God creates a human. Things seem to be going well for this human. They are in the garden. They are tilling the land. They are in the presence of God. That seems like a pretty good day to me. But then in verse 18, something shifts. For the first time in Scripture, God realizes that something is not good. This human, Adam, is alone. And God says, oh my, this is not the way it is supposed to be. This loneliness, this is not good. This moment in Scripture is so powerful to me because throughout Genesis chapter 1, the only thing we've heard God say is how good everything is. God creates, and with every new day, God says, it is good, it is good, it is good. So the first time in Genesis chapter 2, when we hear God say something is not good, it should stop us in our tracks. And in response to the problem God sees at hand, God creates animals. Don't you just love God for that? The human is lonely, so God sends him a dog. And while animals certainly do help combat our human loneliness, God quickly realizes that animals don't fill every void, so God creates again. God breathes life into the dust and creates another human. And when the humans see each other, the first thing that is said is, "At last. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, at last you and I, we are the same. We belong to each other." Friends, this moment is the piece of this text that will not let me go. And I think this is why we need the second creation story in our canon. It's not about gender or sexual orientation, or scientific fact. I think the reason we have this second creation story is because woven into our creation is our need for community. And in this second telling, that is made clear. In this second telling, it is clear that we cannot go through life alone. We cannot cultivate and nurture our faith alone. We cannot experience God as frequently if we are alone. No, we need each other. We need the church. God said, "It is not good for humans to be alone." The first time I stepped foot in this sanctuary, I had one of those at last moments we see in our text for today. It was an early summer day 3 years ago. I had flown to New York City with my husband Ryan to interview for the associate pastor position here. At that time, the world was deep in COVID, which meant this building had been closed for a long time. And the search committee had done all of their work by Zoom. That reality didn't really sink in until I gathered with the search committee right outside these doors by the 55th Street entrance. One of the committee members said, "Scott, before we start the interview, do you think we could just see the sanctuary? They said it's been so long, do you think we could just step inside for a moment?" The rest of the group loudly agreed, so Scott graciously led the way. Quietly, we all filed into this gorgeous room, and I stood at the back of the line and watched as the committee members, as Kirsten Aiello and Amy Chung and Roseanne Lind and Ken Henderson and Jesse Allen and Heather Guardado walked into this room and got tears in their eyes. And they said, "Oh, it smells like the sanctuary. And it sounds quiet like the sanctuary." And then I watched as they did the most remarkable thing, almost by instinct. I don't even know if they remember doing it, but they began moving through the new room and naming the people in the pews that they missed. They said, "Oh, I wonder how David Warren's doing. He usually sits right here. Has anybody seen him recently?" And someone else said, "Has anyone heard from Phil Snyman? He usually sits over here near the kids." And someone else said, "And what about Porter and Matt? Have you talked to them recently? They usually sit over here." And then someone walked up the center aisle and said, "Oh, and this is where the Morelands sit. Have you all talked to them?" And someone else said, "And back there is where Janice and Judy and Ann and Susan sit. I wonder how they're doing these days." And on they went, naming the people that they belonged to. And I remember thinking to myself in that moment, "Oh, this is a church that knows that we belong to one another. This is a church that knows that it is not good for humans to be alone. This is a church that knows what it means to be a home, a shelter, a family, bone of bone and flesh of flesh." And in that moment, I knew this was a church I wanted to join. So as the associate pastor for young adults and membership, one of the questions I receive often is, why should I join the church? The question is not argumentative or defensive. It's honest and curious. People want to know, do I need to become a member if I already attend? What difference does it make? And that is a fair question. Because the truth is, whether or not you join this church, you will always be welcomed here. Whether or not you join this church, there will always be bread at this table for you, room in these pews for you, grace at this font for you. Whether or not you join this church, we will pass the peace with you on a Sunday, visit you in the hospital on a Monday, and officiate your wedding on a Friday. And the same is true for God. Whether or not you join this church, God will always love you. Membership doesn't change that. But the reason in my mind to join the church is because of the truth made clear in Genesis chapter 2, which is that we cannot go through life alone. COVID reminded us of that. It's why the search committee got tears in their eyes when they walked into this room, is because it is not good for us to be alone. So when you join the church, you are making sure that the next individual who walks through these doors feels welcomed, accepted, and included no matter what. And when you join the church, you make sure that the person who sits next to you in the pews does not go unnoticed. When you join the church, you commit to looking for one another, to being the person that says, "Has anyone seen Betsy? I haven't seen her in a while. Do you think she needs anything?" When you join the church, you help create a place in a broken world where people can look around the room and say, "We don't all look alike. And we don't all think alike, but I choose to see you as bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Which is to say, when you join the church, you don't only benefit from the community, but you help build it. And I am sure that when this work is done, it will bring us closer to the day where God will say again, "Oh, at last, this is good." Now, you all know this is my last Sunday at this beautiful church. This time next week, Ryan and I will be on the road in a very large Penske truck somewhere between here and Kansas City. And I'm sure that as we drive, the joyful memories of this place will just be spinning through my mind. I will remember the Pride March and those of you who showed up to serve water. I will remember the women's summer retreats and the laughter that we shared around table. I will remember watching the children at Chapel Church, always eager to help collect the offering and dance to the songs. I will remember taste testing chilies at the chili cook-off and the crews of volunteers that show up for FAPC serves. I will remember the way you all folded hundreds of paper cranes for Ukraine and hung them around this sanctuary. I will remember when the First Fire members had a baby, how the rest of that community packed the pews for that little one's baptism. I will remember how you all helped launch a new worship service to ensure that people in this city seeking an open and affirming contemporary worship space would have a safe place to land. But most of all, I will remember the ways that you have lived like we belong to one another. So if my last Sunday just happens to be your first Sunday in this sanctuary, then I hope you'll take the advice of a tender-hearted preacher and stick around. I hope you'll come back next week and the week after. And if the Spirit moves, I hope you'll join this church, because we are not meant to go through life alone. And this community knows how to live like that is true. So Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, thank you for showing me what it looks like to be bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Thank you for refusing to let Ryan and I go through this life alone. Thank you for living out your faith so beautifully. It has been the honor of a lifetime to join your church. Thanks be to God for the tie that binds. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Fifth Avenue, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. Amen. Go in peace.
Go in peace.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.